Is there a copy of the, is there a link?
No, it's just audio today.
Okay.
All right. So, today I want to discuss a little bit a mitzvah in this week's Torah portion, which is central to Judaism. And unfortunately, it's something which we're reading about almost daily in the news. We should never read about it again. And that is the mitzvah of giving your life for the sake of Hashem. This week's Torah portion says, "Mikdashti b'sechnei Yisrael, I'll be sanctified amongst the Jewish people." And it's talking about the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, mitzvah of giving your life for the sake of Hashem. So the Medrash says that Hashem says about the Jewish people, "Hinuch yafar yasi, einecha kayonim. You are beautiful, my beloved one. Your eyes are like doves." So what's the comparison of the Jewish people to doves? All their birds, when they're slaughtered, they like fidget a little bit. They move. But a dove sticks its neck out. In a similar way, Jewish people, Hashem says, there's no nation like you. You give your life, you stick your neck out to be slaughtered for the sake of Hashem's name. So the question is, what's the greatness of dying for the sake of Hashem when it seems the greatest thing is to live for the sake of Hashem? Isn't Judaism about life, not death? Didn't we just read in yesterday's Torah portion, v'chai b'hem, you should live in them. So Judaism emphasizes being alive, and yet it says in the Gemara that there was a man who had a clinical death. He passed away, Yosef, the son of Yeshua ben Levi, and he goes to the heavenly court, and he comes back, and he tells his father, "And I saw something amazing over there. What did you see?" "I saw that the world over there is the opposite of the reality." "How is it the opposite of reality?" He says, "Because in this world, there were people that were considered to be negligible, not so important, and in the higher world, they're considered the most important people. And people which everyone considers to be like the most important people, in the higher world, they're considered negligible." And then he said, his father told him, "It's not Yinzi, he said, I saw an opposite kind of world." He said, "You saw a clear world. Because the people which are considered not to be so special, actually, they are the most special." And then he said something else. "And I saw that the greatest people that are considered in the highest esteem are the Heruge Malchus." Who are the Heruge Malchus? I have different opinions who the Heruge Malchus are. One opinion is, it's the people of the Papus and Luluyanus. Papus and Luluyanus were living at a time when there was a blood libel. The Jewish people were accused of killing a princess. And Papus and Luluyanus came before the emperor and they said, it sounds like a Roman emperor, Papus and Luluyanus, right? Anyways, they said, we it was us. Why are you trying to attack the Jewish people? We're the ones who did it. So they are considered to be the highest possible stature in heaven because they gave their lives to protect the Jewish people. And yet, it seems to be contradictory to what we know, that the Torah highlights and emphasizes we're supposed to live with sanctifying Hashem's name. Yet in heaven, no, that's not considered the greatest thing. The greatest thing is dying for the sake of Hashem. And so I want to dedicate today's class to those who are Rachman al-Tzlan, who have given their lives to protect the Jewish sheep, protect us, and to understand a little bit more about their greatness, and conversely, the role of those who they've left behind and protected and allowed us to be here. Is a sefer called the Yireim by Elazar Mintz, and he writes the following. He says there's actually three different ways to sanctify Hashem's name, three different models for the sanctification of Hashem's name. There is a scenario where it's interesting that this mitzvah is the only mitzvah, it seems, that it's more of a publicity mitzvah. Every other mitzvah is about the action. This mitzvah is about, not about what you're doing, but who's seeing it. So he says, for example, that there's a way of sanctifying Hashem's name when someone is coerced in public to accept another religion, and he agrees to die rather than accept other religion. That's one way of sanctifying Hashem's name. He dies. Another way of sanctifying Hashem's name is when there is a 10 people around, and the government is trying to coerce a Jew to transgress one specific mitzvah, but it's in public. So although it's not one of the three cardinal sins of idolatry, adultery, or murder, where the Torah says you have to give your life rather than sever your bond with Hashem, nevertheless, since it's in public, so we're told that we have to give our lives rather than violate any mitzvah. The Gemara even says, Urkus is the Messiah. The Gemara says, even if Jews tie their shoelaces a certain way, and the Gentiles make a decree because they want to uproot Judaism, they say Jews can't have the same shoelaces, the Gemara says you have to give your life and keep your shoelaces. So that's another way of Kiddush Hashem, where you're put in public and your devotion to Hashem is questioned. Thank you. And it's a mitzvah. It doesn't matter what the mitzvah is. It seems something that's so benign as tying your shoelace. Yet you have to give your life rather than transgress the will of Hashem and die for the sake of Hashem's name, even though it seems to be something which is so negligible. Just tying your shoelace. But no. But if depending on the circumstances, if it's in public, if they're making a decree against the Jewish people, doesn't matter what it is. Even if it's not in public, if it's about obliterating Jewish faith, and that's a second way of Kiddush Hashem. There's also a third way. The third way is living with Kiddush Hashem, living to sanctify Hashem's name. And as Rama writes that that if a person buys something, and he buys it on credit, and so if he is considered someone who is religious and doesn't pay on back on time, when the time he is desecrating Hashem's name. Conversely, if you fulfill your words and you act and you talk with people in a friendly way, and you are acting in a way that people say, "Wow, I wish I could be like this guy," then you're creating a Kiddush Hashem. You're sanctifying Hashem's name. You're living with Kiddush Hashem. It's a third way of sanctifying Hashem's name with living with Kiddush Hashem. So before we go back to dying with Kiddush Hashem, let's just talk a little bit about living with Kiddush Hashem. One of the most astounding miracles in history was the war of Yehoshua to protect the Gevonim. It's unbelievable. It was the third of Tammuz, and the Gevonim were being attacked by some other nations, and it was Friday, and Yehoshua made a pact with the Gevonim. Now, the Gevonim weren't very nice people. They they tricked Yehoshua into taking a pact with them. They pretended to be coming from some faraway place, not from Israel, and they said, "We want to make peace with you, Jewish people. It's not like you know who we are. We're just from some faraway country." And then it was discovered that they were actually part of the warpath of the Jewish people in Israel. But he made a pact with them, and he kept the pact. But what happens over here is the Gevonim are being attacked by other nations. And because Yeshua made a pact with them, he had to defend them. And so he's fighting with the Gevonim. With other nations, which are... He's like a totally, like, not relevant to the story. But he made a pact with them. So he stood up and brought the Jewish armies to defend the Gevonim. But more, it's Friday afternoon, and it was about to be dark. And so he realized that wasn't going to be able to defeat them in time for nightfall. So he prays to Hashem, and the sun stops moving. And it's the longest day in history. It's a 36-hour day. And he's able to defeat the Gevonim. And we don't find this kind of miracle in any other scenario. We don't find a miracle of such proportions. The whole world saw it equally. The same. I mean, like, it's unbelievable. It's something, I'm not really familiar with this, but people who research astronomy discover some kind of discrepancy in the orbit of the sun. And it seems that their discovery mirrors what happened on the third of Tammuz. So, but this is an extraordinary miracle. And what was the purpose of this miracle? It was for the sake of honoring Hashem's name, because he made a pact with the Gevonim. Therefore, Hashem made this miracle so the Jewish people should keep this. Even though this pact was based on a lie, but we're living and looking at, oh, they made a pact and he didn't keep the pact. We wouldn't read into the story, well, it wasn't really fair. We would just hear the headlines. Jews didn't keep the pact again. Jews are again violating their agreements. And so in order to get Kiddush Hashem, Yehoshua prayed to Hashem, fought this war, and Hashem made this miracle for the sake of honoring his name. But Avram and Lot looked like each other. And when Lot's shepherds weren't so careful about honesty, Avram, although he was his nephew, and Avram fought to save his nephew, it wasn't something he didn't care about, and he rescued him from these four kings. Yet, when it came a story of desecrating Hashem's name or honoring Hashem's name, if it would appear that Avram was allowing his shepherds to steal, he told Lot, no, we can't really hang out anymore together. You got to go your way, I got to go my way. We can't be in the same place. So the idea of honoring Hashem's name is something that the Torah puts in, it seems, at the highest of objectives, so much so that it says in the Hazinu, Kela Muna Vein Aval Taki Yasharu, Hashem is a faithful God. He has nothing corrupt about him, nothing untoward, nothing untrue about him. He is justice and right. So it says in the Talmud, when a person passes away, Chas V'Shalom, they are given a list of their own deeds, and they are not allowed to go anywhere until they sign and say, I did this. And the person looks at the list, he says, all these things, I didn't do that. And so one interpretation of this is that if a person is known to be a religious person and they act in a way that is not befitting of a religious person, so what happens is that people say, oh, yeah, I know this guy. This guy is, that's how religious people act. And so he is causing people to desecrate Shabbos and cause people to desecrate the laws of kosher, but even though he didn't do it himself, but because he is so religious and therefore it's expected of him to act in a higher caliber, and if he doesn't, he is causing a desecration. He's causing all these other sins to be done. Therefore, it's a sign. Yeah, I did this. It was my fault. So that's what Blazer Mintz writes about honoring Hashem's name. He says this mitzvah has no number, has no amount. It's something which is constantly with us all of our lives. Are we sanctifying Hashem's name? Are we causing people? The word Chilul Hashem, what's Chilul Hashem mean? You cause Hashem and a mitzvah to be considered valueless. You cause it to be considered cheap. When people see someone so religious and they act in a way that's not honorable, that makes Torah and mitzvahs, that makes people, the mitzvahs that they are keeping, like, what do I keep these mitzvahs for? There's no value to them. So Chilul Hashem is something that Gemara says that there are four kinds of sins and four kinds of atonement. And the worst kind of atonement, the hardest thing to atone for, is desecrating Hashem's name. The Gemara says the only way to atone for desecrating Hashem's name is death. There is a teaching of the Alter Rebbe, where the Alter Rebbe says it's possible to atone for desecrating Hashem's name as well, because nothing stands in the path of truth. But on the surface, the Gemara says desecrating Hashem's name is punishable. All other sins are Yom Kippur, pain, whatever, but desecrating Hashem's name is considered far worse, and therefore it's... The only way on the surface is through death, but Alter Rebbe says that tshuva has no boundaries, therefore it's possible through a high level of tshuva to atone for that as well. But that's how in Judaism this is considered to be, a Jew is considered to be the representative of Hashem, the presenter of who Hashem is in this world. And therefore, this mitzvah is all-encompassing of every moment of our lives. Are we making a Kiddush Hashem? It's not a bumper sticker. It's a real thing. Are you sanctifying Hashem's name or are you not sanctifying Hashem's name? And... it's something which is very central to who we are and why we're in this world. And there's a lot of things we could do, make lives easier, and we shouldn't, because it violates the role of what we're supposed to play in this world. I remember I was doing jury duty once, and I wanted to get out of it, and I tried all kinds of reasons why I should be excused, and they weren't really buying it. And so when the judge said, everyone has prejudices, everyone has them, but I want you to be transparent about your prejudices here, because if you're not, you're going to commit perjury when you judge, because you're not going to be able to look at things accurately. It's like, I'm very foolish, embarrassed to say this, but just the day before, our housekeeper stole something. So I said, you know, Your Honor, you mentioned this, so I just want to say, like, you know, this person is Hispanic and their housekeeper is Hispanic. This just happened. I don't feel anything untoward towards Hispanics, but you know, this just happened yesterday. I'm just afraid that this might cloud my judgment. Maybe I should be excused. Right? What a wonderful thing to say. Oh my gosh. I walked out, they had a recess. I walked out of the court, and this other guy comes over to me and says, so you're a bigot. And there was a mistake. I got out of the jury, but I made a chel Hashem. So
you got so much more Torah, sure, and serve so many people. So you know, in the biggest.
So that's exactly what I'm trying to say.
You did so many more mitzvahs by not having to sit there. So you won.
No, I didn't.
God won.
No. That's exactly my point. Exactly my point is the opposite. And my point is it would have been worth it for me to go to a jury duty for 2 weeks. Not to make a chel Hashem, because the whole reason we're in this world is to sanctify Hashem's name. It would have been worth it that all the things I think are so important that I'm doing are negligible in comparison to making sanctifying Hashem's name. So, and so there is sanctifying Hashem's name as we live, and let's go back now to sanctifying Hashem's name in death. The Beis Yosef had an angel teaching him Torah. And the Beis Yosef was very impressed with a man who lived before him named Shlomo Molcho. Shlomo Molcho was someone who discovered his Judaism living in the time of the Inquisition, and he escaped the Inquisition, but he was a great Kabbalist, and he tried to bring Mashiach, and he had all kinds of calculations when Mashiach was going to come. He ended up meeting the Pope and trying to convince the Pope to challenge the Ottoman Empire. Very colorful, interesting person, but the end of his story is that he was killed by the Inquisition. He was killed by the Christians. So the Beis Yosef was telling the angel that taught him Torah, you know, Shlomo Molcho, what an amazing man. I wish I was like Shlomo Molcho. And the angel told the Beis Yosef, you would have had this merit of being like Shlomo, of dying for the sake of Hashem's name. However, because of something you did that wasn't so great, you are not going to die for the sake of Hashem's name. You're not going to be as great as you wanted to be. Now, think about this. Shlomo Molcho died in the sake of Hashem's name. Have you heard of him? Maybe we haven't. Beis Yosef wrote the code of Jewish law that we all study forever. Even after Mashiach comes forever, that's going to be a central part of our lives, the code of Jewish law. And yet, it wasn't as good as dying for the sake of Hashem's name. How does that make sense? The Rambam even compares Avraham Avinu to Rabbi Akiva, and he says that Rabbi Akiva, who died for the sake of Hashem's name, has an advantage over Avraham Avinu. How could that be? Avraham Avinu was saved by a miracle. Hashem, he went to the furnace, but Hashem saved him. The Rambam says it's even greater to die for the sake of Hashem's name. Why is that? Why does that make sense? The Rambam actually said that children should be educated with not in a way that brings them sadness or frightens them, but they should be educated with this truth that Jews gave their life for the sake of Hashem. It's something that we should talk about to children. They should understand the value of the people that cherish the Torah and they give their lives for the sake of Torah. And the reason is why it's considered to be greater to die for the sake of Hashem's name than the Beis Yosef even, is because only in that action do you see the utter devotion of a Jew to Hashem. You see that it's worth more than anything else. There was a man who passed away on October 7th. His name is Matan Evergel. He was part of, I think, he was part of the Golanis. I think it was his squad, his group was number 13, I think. And he jumped on top of a grenade, and he saved a lot of people. And someone heard him before he died. He said, "I did whatever I could to protect the Jewish people." And he had this teacher, her name was Demanta, and she would always tell her students a story about giving your life for the sake of Hashem. And she said that when this boy listened, she remembers how he listened to the story. He remembers how he questioned and absorbed this story. And that's how he gave his life to protect the Jewish people. So that action of actually giving your life to protect the Jewish people, actually dying for the sake of Hashem's name, the reason why it's considered so special, even more than living for the sake of Hashem's name, even more than a miracle. Avraham had did a miracle. The whole world knew about the miracle that happened to Avraham. He was thrown into the furnace by Nebuchadnezzar, Nimrod. And yet, that's not considered as great as Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because in the actual death of Rabbi Akiva, you see something more. You see that the devotion to Hashem and the love for Hashem is something that is infinite. It's something infinite about it. Now, there's something to be said also about living for the sake of Hashem's name. The Gemara says about these three tzaddikim who refused to bow down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them that they're going to be killed, and they said, listen, if Hashem wants a miracle for us, He can. If not, we'll give our lives willingly for the sake of Hashem's name. And the Zohar actually says that they made a mistake about this. The Zohar says that they shouldn't have talked about Hashem saving them. It's so much greater to die for the sake of Hashem's name. On the other hand, let's go to two other stories, which say will give us a different message. Let's go to the story of Rachel and the story of David and Yonasan. The Torah says about David standing at the funeral of Yonasan. David says to Yonasan, he parts from his beloved friend, he says, your love is greater than the love of women. And the Talmud explains which women. He wasn't referring to love of a man and a woman, he was referring to the love of a woman, Rachel. What was so great about Rachel? It says about Rachel that when the Jewish people were exiled, Hashem, all the patriarchs and matriarchs came to pray before Hashem, and Hashem said to them, I'm not listening to you, but Rachel, Hashem responded to her and said, I promise you, your children will come back. I can't ignore Rachel. What was so great about Rachel? What was great about Rachel was that she didn't just give her life in a moment for the sake of Hashem's name, but she consistently lived with sacrifice. Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, the Gemara says about them that if they were to be tortured instead of being thrown to the stake, they wouldn't have been able to survive. They wouldn't have been able to remain steadfast to Hashem's with the torture they would have experienced. They wouldn't have been able to withstand the torture. But Rachel, think about the story of Rachel and Leah, where Rachel tells her sister Leah on the night of her wedding, supposed to be the night of Rachel's wedding, but her dishonest father wanted the older daughter to marry Yaakov, and Yaakov knew that his father-in-law was dishonest, and he told Rachel, let's have a sign, I'll know it's you, not your sister, your twin sister. And Rachel gives her sister the signs that Yaakov gave her, and when indeed Laban presents Leah as Rachel, Yaakov didn't know Leah was Rachel, and Yaakov married Rachel. Yaakov didn't know that the one who was supposed to be Rachel was actually Leah, and Rachel ended up compromising her life for the sake of her sister, for sake of her sister's honor. So she lived with sacrifice. Similar way with Yonasan and David. David said, your life, your sacrifice is greater than the love of women. What he was referring to was that Yonasan was supposed to be the next king after Saul. And David and Yonasan gave his life, not just his life, he survived, but he gave up his role as king. And to the sake of David being the king, and imagine living his whole life, you're not the king, he's the king. I should have been the king, I could have been the king, you know, I was the guy who might have been the king. But he did this, and he lived with this. So there's something to be said about living with sacrifice, day in, day out, that surpasses in a way that the act of a one-time sacrifice, something to be said about that. On the other hand, something to be said about people who actually gave their lives for the sake of Hashem's name. Like, Yosef went to go tell his brothers that their father was looking for them. And Yosef meets this angel, Gabriel. And the angel tells Yosef, you know, your brothers are going to kill you. I don't know if you want to go there. And Yosef goes anyways. Why did Yosef go anyways? You know, these brothers were about to kill him. He went deliberately going into lions that to be killed. Why? Because Yosef knew that he wanted to give the Jewish people this message that you have to give your life for the sake of Hashem's name. Without any limit, without the honor of your father, his brothers were deficient in honoring their father. And Yosef wanted to show his brothers, honoring your father has to go all the way. All the way to honor your father, no matter what's going on. And he did this by giving his life for this mitzvah. So bottom line is that there is something that we've learned and we were taught by those who've died in the sake of Hashem's name. That's why they're considered the highest level of dedication to Hashem's name, the highest level possible. On the other hand, there is something about living for this with the Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying Hashem's name day in, day out, that actually brings the light of Hashem into the world in a physical way, in a tangible way, that paves the way for the good news that we're expecting any moment, the coming Mashiach. L'chaim.
Thank you. L'chaim.